It's 8:33 here. In about 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be an hour earlier, which I know is not thrilling for the West Coast. But I think it makes the East Coast a little happier. Not quite as early. Wait a minute, not quite as late. Not quite as late. Anyway, let's get started here. Let's turn to, where's a good place to turn to here? I guess the first reference is going to be in Acts, but you can turn to Acts chapter 17 if you want. I've got a question this morning. I'm going to set up the question this morning, and we'll do the answer tonight. Tonight will be 5:30 Mountain Time, which is 4:30 Pacific, which is 6:30 Central, and 7:30 Eastern. Is that right? I'm 5:30 here. You guys, it'll be, 5:30 here. I'll just put it that way. You can figure out your times, because I'm usually wrong with stuff like that. I have here something I copied off the internet last night, farce book. This is from a mother who was taught the Bible, taught Paul, taught parenting, the whole thing. And here, this is a clip that everybody copies and sends around, one of those things, copy-paste things and it sends you around. They don't realize that when you click into those things, there's somebody out there, get your information, family information, all your profile, the whole thing. But anyway, here's what they said. My promise to my children. This sounds so parentally loving, you know. My promise to my children, as long as I live, I am your parent first, your friend second. I will stalk you, flip out on you, lecture you, drive you insane, be your worst nightmare, and hunt you down like a bloodhound when needed because I love you. When you understand that I will know you are a responsible adult, when you understand that, I will know you are a responsible adult. You will never find someone who loves, prays, cares, and worries about you more than I do. If you don't hate me once in your life, I am not doing my job properly. Repost if you are a parent and agree. That's garbage. That is one. No wonder kids hate their parents. No wonder kids hate God. No wonder kids want nothing to do with home when the time comes along. That's the worst example of parenting statement I've ever read, actually. And we know what Paul says about parenting. This message is not about parenting this morning, but it's about the fact that we are in troubled times. And for a parent to say this, it's just adding troubled times to the kids. Remember, there's to be exhortation, there's to be charging. We don't mean give the kids a credit card. And there's supposed to be comfort. Here comes our local lawnmower again. So this is wrong. So if anybody sees that on your farce book, this is wrong. Just 100,000% wrong. Now, we know what's going on in the world today. And they're tough times. And as I write my whining letter to everybody about my tough times, some people respond with checks, which is utterly fantastic. Some people respond with encouragement. And some people write me back and tell me what's going on in their lives, and then I feel crummy about whining to somebody else. So I could spend the rest of the morning going down the list here and mention what I know about the folks that are here as far as the difficulties and the challenges and the abuse and the persecution and the lack of success, I guess, in some ways, the things that we have to do that are unbiblical to a point where you have to just draw a line. Some things you just aren't going to do. But you're trying to do the right thing as a Christian, which we know years ago was much more acceptable, was much more, Christians were much more willing to do the things that they read in their Bible. See, it was, we're just going to wing this morning a little bit here. It wasn't that long ago that the Great Commission, now we're going to talk about some things this morning that a lot of you know, but we're just going to have a video out there and a sermon out there for people that are having tough times. And we have been brought up with so much religion, so much magic Jesus, that we thought that if we did the right thing and loved God and went to church and read a devotion, that we would be blessed and we would have great homes, we would have cars that work, we would have fantastic jobs, we would have all the health we needed, our kids would be fine, our kids would obey us, because if they didn't, we'd spank them, so that we could, you know, scare the bejeebies out of them, so then they would do good, so we could go to people's homes, and our kids would be perfect little kids, and then God would get glory, you know, the whole routine. And someday, the tribulation is going to come, and people are going to have hard times, but not us. See, we're Christians. And there was a time where Christians really did try to do the right thing. You know, we talked about it, the Judeo-Christian thing. You take the law from the Judeo portion, and you take the Christian from the New Testament portion. Of course, we're just talking about the Gospels. And if you obey the law, then this Jesus will love you. And the stuff about Paul, I don't know what that is. There's a couple things. I guess my pastor has to be, can't be divorced. And that's all they get out of that stuff. And who wants to read Revelation? Too scary. And Hebrews and Jude and Peter, there's where the fear comes, because if you don't do these things, you know, we know the story. We've all been there, I think, pretty much. I speak for myself, I suppose, but we've all been there. And I won't mention the name, because I don't want you to... I'm not attacking anybody. We've already talked about this stuff. But see, one of the things people think that we are being trialed for is our faith. And I was asked that question. I wasn't asked a question. A statement was made, and it just clicked with me. No, we're not going to trial for our faith. So I thought I'd do a little study here this morning. I thought I'd show folks that we're in tough times. But these tough times are not to us. But we're still going to participate in these tough times. And should I say, okay, but they're not there for us, the tough times? No, they're there for us. We know that everything's there for us. It's just whether it's to us or not. So, is our faith being challenged today? Now, I have us going to Acts chapter 17 for this reason. This is a live sermon, not a recorded one. But for the next couple of weeks, again, there's going to be more recorded ones. And I have taken the introduction that I give on the, you know, when you first get there, and I've got the follow-up, and I managed to, you know, with my infinite deep brain on computers, figured out how to put those all into one sermon. Well, those are going to be long sermons, plus the sermon that we did back in 2007, 2008, or 2009. So there will still be those. But here's what we find ourselves doing, which is part of this religion thing, Acts 17, verse 21. And Paul's getting ready to speak to Mars Hill, you know, the guys in Mars Hill. And it says here, these guys were saying, listen, Paul, you're teaching strange things to our ears in verse 20. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Because, see, these guys wanted to hear what Paul had to say. Wasn't that exciting? They're there to hear, yes. They came to Mars Hill. They came to the website. They came to the sermon live. They came to the website and they read it later. Oh, how exciting. Why? Well, look at verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So it's a great thing that we want to hear something new. Well, we've been over this stuff with Paul, and I go back and listen to my sermons I'm enjoying the fact that we listened to an old sermon from 2007, 2008, or 2009, or whatever. You know, on how to understand the King James Bible, and then all that stuff through the Old Testament. I'm enjoying that. I'm just totally enjoying that because I realize I've been saying this stuff for years. So I started saying this stuff in Tushy. I said the same stuff in Ohio. I came to South Dakota. We're saying the same stuff. And, website's gone down, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people don't like Paddle Talk. We'll see if the earlier hours helps the East Coast or not or whatever, but the early hours are going to hurt the West Coast. So, my point is, we're not looking for gain. And I've got to remind myself this. We're not looking for gain. We're not looking for numbers. We're looking for those of us who try to get this stuff and try to change it in our lives. And the only way that you'll learn something, I've learned as a teacher, is to repeat it. Repetition. So, here we are, we're pulling up these old sermons from the past, not that far ago. And you're going to hear virtually the same thing. Actually, probably a little bit more firm, because I had live people to be preaching to then. or teaching to? Or do we just want something new? Show me something new. Well, I'm going to show you something new today. And are we of those that... Ask yourself how your yard looks right now. Now, those of us that aren't having any rain, or like in Arizona, your yards are all colored rock. But you don't have to mow rocks. And we're having... It's 108 degrees today here. So we don't have much of a yard. But let's say that you're going to build a house somewhere. Okay, you got the foundation. You're happy with that. Now you got your yard full of the trusses, the boards, the lumber, the siding, the shingles, or the steel, or whatever you're going to do, the plumbing part, the whole spiel. It's out there in the yard. Ah, this is great. I got the building materials. And that's all you do. Well, you got great building materials, but the weeds are going to grow up, and eventually those weeds are going to overrun your building materials. And the place, we got the right foundation. Well, see, that's what we have as Christians. We've got the King James Bible. We've got the real Jesus. None of this another Jesus stuff. We got the real one. We're convinced of that without a shadow of a doubt, because we're turning to the risen Savior for his teachings. That's what Paul is. That's all it is. And Christians years ago did it without even being, they just kind of knew that. Then the Great Commission comes along and destroys all that stuff. So today we have to bring up the Paul thing extra hard to get people, kind of knock that Great Commission out of people. And when we do, we realize, well, we got to make sure we got the right foundation. But see, Paul is all about, he's the wise master builder, see? And we got a yard full of materials in this King James Bible through Paul. Timothy, Titus. There's so many things in there that we can learn and build and change our lives over. And we don't want to do that stuff. We just let the world, the weeds, overrun. Matter of fact, there's a good parable about that in the gospel. We'll take the time to do that. But it's the troubles, it's the trials that we have every day that if we don't keep building this house, are going to overrun us, and we're going to quit building this house. We're just going to let those weeds... And we haven't had rain here for quite a while. I mowed the lawn because of the grass? No, because of the weeds. The weeds that grow without any rain. It's an amazing thing. Weeds grow without rain. Grass says, I'm not going to grow until you water me or until it rains. And the weeds are going, ha ha, this is our time to take over. So if we stay out of this Bible, if we stay out of these sermons, and we stay out of studying this stuff, and then we stay away from doing what we know we should be doing, at least fight the battles, then those weeds, this world, these troubles are going to overtake us. Now, I've got a list here of things that are going on in this world. Just the last days because of news. And I'm not going to take the time to read through these things. I mean, these things are something else. Oh, here's, 3-year-old mugged in stroller. Look at the economy. We know that story. Look at the drones that are going through America pretty soon. Here's the junk at Penn State. Homeland, all the stuff we hear about Homeland Security, food crises, famine. Here's a girl lets a man suck her toe at Walmart. Now, what is this? What kind of dumb news is this? But second of all, what is this? This guy says, this girl had painted toenails. See, here's my whole thing about painted toenails. See, there's guys out there that get into this stuff. This is weird stuff. We got laws going against the homeless instead of helping, which I understand, The Rolling Stones are going on tour. They must be going from nursing home to nursing home. All the immigration stuff, the sunspots that are bigger than they've ever been before, that are tweaking out this our global systems and stuff here. Things are happening here. A guy gets arrested for a home Bible study, although, I'm sure you read that, he didn't need to build a building against the county code stuff. So there's more to that story than you think. All the stuff that's going on in Iran, the United Nations hires this epic Jinnad, whatever this guy's name is, puts him on the committee for nuclear weapons control. I mean, is this dumb or what? And now they're going to be checking out America's guns. The United Nations is going after America's guns. We knew that would happen. And Obama's all for it, blah, 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 blah. What do we got here? Against the law for having pop? Yeah, we got pigs and sucking down tons and tons and tons of pop every day, but we have to make a law against it. You have to legalize drugs and stuff. Here's a football player that's getting $10 million. I mean, this stuff is just stupid. Cities are going bankrupt. We know the government controlled. Russia's now sending ships to Syria. Remember the Cuban crisis? It's the same thing all over again. And Obama's probably paying for the gas. Who knows? It says that we have to work 7 months now before we quit paying for taxes. I don't know. The news is just absolutely ridiculous. The politics and the situation and the laws coming out. We can't sell our house because we can't sell it for 3 years. Oh, what a hassle. The fine print. So what am I talking about here? We've got weeds growing up all over the place. But our job is to build, not to sit around and wait for this magic Jesus that we've been so trained to have as a Christian in this modern religion. There's some things that we have forgotten. Let's go to I'm thinking, where am I at here? Let's go to 2 Peter, of all places. We forget something here. We tend to forget this thing, that this place belongs to the devil. It just does. And he's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world. And we tend to forget that this is his place. This is his lot. And we're camped on his lot for now. And he's into weeds. He doesn't like the grass. He doesn't like the foundations and the buildings that are being put up. If you know what I'm talking about here this morning. He's the roaring lion, but see, right now he's not roaring on this earth. But it's still his place. So we're going to look at 2 Peter for a couple of minutes here. We're going to read this thing and realize that this is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3. But that it isn't here yet. That's what we have to remember. This world has been cleaned up by Christianity through history. By the Judeo-Christianity, even. And what's happening, the morals. What's happening is we're going back, and here's the phrase that musicians are famous for, you know, we're going back to the jungle. We're going backwards again. We're going back to less civility within our homes. You know, we mock the people that want to be clean. We mock the people who want to be orderly and have a clean place, whether it's a big place or a small place. You know, we mock the fact that we want to have more. We mock the fact that, ladies should be modest. You don't find any modest people in the jungle. You don't find any morals when you go backwards here. So this is his place. And he is coming. Revelation 6, he is the one that's going to be coming first. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm just still trying to get my mind into this thing here this morning. This second epistle, beloved. By the way, we know that 2 Peter is not written to us, but it's there for us. This is not a warning to us. This is a warning and words to the people during the tribulation. Now, we know this is going to happen. But we're not worried about it. We'll add more of this as we go here. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, see, that's Jewish, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Well, I know, you'll say that, well, that's happening. So, well, sure, it's happening. It's happening more and more. That's because we're getting ready for the tribulation. We're not getting ready. The tribulation is coming around the corner. It isn't going to suddenly be here. It's going to just kind of slowly work its way in. But anyway. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? See, this is the issue. They're talking about his coming. That's not our issue. We're not concerned about his coming. We want the rapture. But that's not referred to as his coming. Because he's not coming down here. The devil's coming down here. He's coming down to water his weeds, is what he's doing. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Okay, we know what that is. Which that's what formed the Badlands, by the way, not 15 million years of erosion, and all of a sudden we're worried about an inch a year, so the national park might not be here in 50 years, but it took 15 million years to build it, you know, create it. Crazy. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, remember he was the word, in Ephesians 3, he was the one that created them, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. Now we all claim this is a good verse to know about, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and willing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that sounds good, and it's true. The Lord wants that during the tribulation. Of course he does. He's going to show them what they have to do to get that. They have to show that to have their repentance. Now, Paul says the goodness of God is what brings people to repentance today. Not this stuff. Not this threat of fire. Not this threat of the Lord coming in. That's not our problem. That's the problem for lost people. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with their fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Whew, that's quite an event. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's not talking to us. That's talking to the Jews, the saints. They want to be belong to God. That they will have to have holy conversation. That's their life. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No, we don't. We know it's not going to get any better. This is my point this morning. As we keep getting these things, and I keep getting emails from people, and it's true, these are the things that are happening, are getting worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. We're not going to fix America. We're not going to get God back where he belongs. We're not going to get the Ten Commandments back up at the courthouse. Why get so upset? We were never told to do the Ten Commandments like that anyway. And today, there's only 9 that Paul, you know, challenges us to do. So the whole thing is just it's a wasted issue. They're going to get rid of this stuff. They got rid of the Bible out of the school. What, can't you take a Bible to school still? Teachers can. I can. These things are going to get worse and worse. I did a sermon a long time ago. How's it go? It was, cheer up. How's it go? Cheer up. It's only going to get worse. I guess I didn't believe that it was going to, even though I preached it, you know. It was a good title. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. See, we know that we are filthy, dirty, our flesh. And we'll get to this stuff here in a minute. But see, we are an inside. This is the difference between what Paul teaches. And we just have to realize who we are, what Christ has done, not only for us, but to us, and remind ourselves that this earth doesn't belong to us. Sure, it's God's. I understand all that stuff. Then you get the sovereignty of God stuff where people think God's in control. God has stepped back. And this is the devil's playground. What do you mean God has stepped back? Oh, he's there. He's in us. It's not a problem. He gave us everything he wants us to know. And he fixes totally on the inside, 100%. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 here. Then in Peter right there, it goes on, he gets into what Paul teaches, how these guys don't understand what Paul taught. You know, is that what he's talking about with our Paul? Or maybe what Paul says to the Jews in Hebrews? You suppose? Let's go to Romans chapter 2. When I say something like God is just step back. This is the devil's playground. This is his place. He's the God of this world. And we're still in it. We are still down here. We are still in our flesh. We're not attached to it. We're still inside these bodies. We still have to work here. You ladies have to be modest amongst a world that is just going undressing all over the place. It's hot. It's always been hot. You see the pictures in the 1920s? These ladies are wearing 45 slips and a thick wool dress, and the guys are all wearing black and white, black suits and white ties, or black suits and white shirts and ties, and hats, even. The things that people did, you didn't do. I learned the other day that John Philip Sousa was nominated or whatever. Who these people are that get paid for this kind of stuff is amazing to me. But anyway, John Philip Sousa was named the number one, the first serious major entertainer America had. Is in the news. Well, that's pretty neat. But they don't talk about the fact that he and his band, got together at the World's Fair, I think it's St. Louis, and the band played all these hymns that we sing today, that we sang the last 15, 20 years ago. He played those hymns, and it says 10,000 people at the World's Fair sang while their band played in these gazebos, these hymns that we old-fashioned people sing. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, people drove for miles, 10,000 people, to hear that kind of music and to sing along with that stuff. They don't mention that in the news, of course. So things have changed a lot. So if we're going to be the Christian, we are being the Christian in a world that is totally nothing but a bunch of weeds. And the weeds are getting taller, they're getting thicker. We all have allergies to these weeds, and yet these times today, it is not our faith that is on trial. Remember, that's the theme of the sermon this morning. It's not our faith that is on trial. Now, we went to Romans chapter 2. I just want to show you something here. You study Paul, and you realize what Paul's teachings are. Realize that that God didn't just tell you how to stop sinning. He took care of sin, Romans chapter 6. He made us dead to sin. He made us, isn't that just amazing? There's no law. He fulfilled the law. And if we put our faith in him, we have we have no law ourselves. I'm getting my bunny trailed here. Look at Romans chapter 6. There it is. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin. See, we're freed from sin. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Well, the law still exists for a lost person, but the law doesn't exist for us. Okay, so we have a judgment seat coming up that's going to judge our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 2, 16 tells us those works are going to be based on Paul's teachings, Paul's gospel. What about lost people? Why isn't God cutting these weeds down? I mean, come on. Why can't the Christian get this world to do better? Why can't we take our spiritual lawnmowers and go out there and mow down the weeds, Roundup, just get our spiritual Roundup together, go out there and mow down and kill these weeds? This isn't what's going to happen. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, God says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You know, it's still all about works. The only thing is that the works we're trusting on are his. And the world, this lost world, who's having a heyday, America is just being destroyed from within. Just like Khrushchev, only the old people know who he is, just like Khrushchev said, we'll destroy you without firing a shot. And they are. Then you get into the political thing about the government, how Obama's killing America. Romney's not going to be any different. We all know that. You know, blah, 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 blah. So God lets it all go. Well, why is that? Look at verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The message for Christian, for this world today, is the goodness of God, not the severity. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, that's the Jews. But toward thee, that's the Gentile nation, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There's going to come a day when God cuts off the Gentiles. That's called the rapture. People can disbelieve it if they want, you know, whatever. But it's there. God's going to cut off the Gentiles one of these days. And what's it based on? The only place that you hear about God's goodness is through Paul. And you can't mix God's goodness for what Paul preaches with the severity of God in the Gospels and the severity of God in the tribulation, or the severity of God to the Jews in the Old Testament. You can't mix those. What was this all about this morning? I'm going to show you this morning that we are not being persecuted for our faith. We're being persecuted, if we are being persecuted, by trying to do the right thing, by your daily living. That's my premise this morning. We are not being persecuted for our faith. People could care less what we believe. Okay, they get mad at you, you know, and they laugh at you, blah, 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 blah. That's, you know, fine, whatever. But they still allow it, you know. Maybe your father doesn't. Maybe your parents don't. Maybe your sisters and brothers don't. Maybe your friends don't. Maybe your boss doesn't. You know, there's always those exceptions, of course. But what makes them mad? What bothers them? Because you tried to do something right. You tried to be covered up when you went to work. You tried not to be so loud. Men, you tried to do the man thing based on Titus. Men, you know, morals are just good manners, you know? Hold the door, you know, and understand all these things that's going on, you know. From a man's view, all the things that's taught in Titus chapter 2, for Timothy chapter 3, Timothy chapter 2, Timothy chapter 5, all these things, you try to do those things. That's what makes people mad. That everybody believes, you got a Bible, it doesn't matter what Bible you have. Ah, but a King James. That King James thing bothers people. Well, why? Why should it? Because a King James Bible, rightly divided, tells you how to live your life. It does. Well, yeah, it does. Look at 2 Timothy. Let's go there. 2 Timothy. So, as you're looking there, just keep this in mind. You're not being persecuted for your faith. It's not our faith we're concerned about. Our faith does need to grow. Of course it does. No doubt it does. But the only time we read about the faith of Jesus Christ when it's given to us and is kept for us by him is in this dispensation of grace through Paul. We are living by the faith of Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It's very simple. Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, living, what do you mean by godly? The right length of hair, the other kind? No, we have learned that godly, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what godliness is. See, you've heard all this stuff before. Nothing new here, but we're going to do it anyway. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here's what godliness is. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's what Paul preaches. Godliness is not what we do. Godliness is a belief. You get into the tribulation. Now we're doing another sermon here. You get into the tribulation, godliness will be what they do. Whether they're divorced or not. How modest are they? What do they do? Where do they work? Are they home with the family? All this kind of stuff pops up in tribulation. And they have to do it. So this godliness works thing today is a false gospel, the way it's being taught. Well, but Paul says those that live godly will suffer persecution. Okay, living godly is living according to what the risen Savior has taught through Paul, King James Bible. Well, see, you still get into things. Well, sure you do. Of course you do. Of course a Christian should dress differently. You're a Christian, for crying out loud. Of course you shouldn't go there. Christians don't go there. But we have this dispensation that we're in. It's called the dispensation of grace. All things are lawful, Paul says. So why don't you go there? Well, because Paul says, by the way, this liberty that you have, this liberty is based on that you don't cause someone else to stumble. You don't do it as an occasion for the flesh. You don't do it because it has power over you. It's expedient, and it edifies. Those are our strings to attach. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. Have I done my thing? Yeah, let's go to 1 Peter. Let me show you where to get this faith stuff. You know, we're trials of our faith. Well, you've got to go to Peter. Well, yeah, it's there. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's there. Oh, wait a minute. Peter's not written to us. Peter's written to the Jews. Peter's written to the was written to the Jews during the time because, you know, Christ was going to come back. Peter could get these people to put their faith in and be baptized. And Acts chapter 2 shows them what the church was going to be like, and that's the Great Commission. So it's been here. It's been here and gone. Now, God, in his miraculous preservation of his inspired word and words, takes all these writings from Peter, John, James, Jude, and even Paul knew what to say to the Jews, puts them in the back of the Bible, because the Bible is dispensationally divided. Not a problem. So now we're going to go to see what it says in Peter, 1 chapter 1, verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more... Our faith is not under trial today. You know, indirectly, of course it is. But directly, no. His faith. We have his faith. And because we have his faith, our faith grows. As our faith grows, we start living more like a Christian ought to live. That's that godly living that Paul talks about. And when you do those things, you'll suffer persecution. You just will. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. They're still doing things there, but it's based on their faith. And it's the will of God that they suffer. Is it the will of God that you suffer? Is it God's will that he took your baby before he was born? Is it God's will that your children died in a car accident? Is it God's will that you lost your job? Is it God's will that you not get another job? Is it God's will that you bought a house and now you can't sell it? Is that God's will? What a horrible God. No wonder our kids want nothing to do with this God they've heard about. No wonder Paul tells us to despise this modern religion. Acts chapter, I despise it. It's destroyed my family. It's destroyed people I know. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. See, and it goes on. This is what they put on us. Let's just not take... It's there, you know. The whole thing is about they're going to be tried in the tribulation, but there's going to be a trial over their faith. They have to keep their faith. Well, we should keep our faith too. We should keep strong, no doubt. And Paul talks about our faith growing. But the tribulation today is based on our works. These tough times that we're going to go through as Christians, we don't have to go through those tough times. All things are lawful, right? We can dress immodestly. We can put our kids in activities they shouldn't be in. We can talk like we want. We can watch the videos and movies we want. We can. We actually can. But it's going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. Now, see, this is nothing new here this morning. But my point is, it's going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. What time did I start this thing? Okay, I see. I forgot to turn on my timer. Okay, let's go back here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back. Instead of just me mouthing and saying what I'm trying to put the emphasis and get people to, let's just go back to the scriptures. I have a tendency to get away from that sometimes here, shame on me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. I should go to verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Yeah, it's going to happen. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom, for which ye also suffer. See? We're going to have hard times. Go back to the curse in Genesis 3, where this whole thing started. You know that this world is still cursed, even though we have air conditioning and we have 4-day work weeks for the men. Oh, wait a minute. The men aren't working anymore. It's the women that are going into the workplace. Well, we have to. I know. I know that. But if you don't have to, don't. But if you have to, you got to do what you got to do. But you can still be the Christian there, right? Somewhat. Sure you can be. We just don't have the guts anymore. We don't have the wisdom how to do it properly. It's hot. I work hard hours. Well, you know, ladies, you're not made to do that. You can say you want to. You know, all the stuff that's going on today is an attempt to diss. I think that's where it is, to diss what Adam and Eve brought upon us. The men got to work by the sweat, and the ladies got painful childbirth. I guess ladies can take pills now that, well, we know the birth pill, but they don't have to have children. Go off and get a job. Who's home with the kids now? And the dad's home with the kids more and more. We can't help it. I know, we can't help it. Tough times. But see, it's not your faith that's being challenged. You may give up, but that's because you haven't got your faith where it needs to be, in His faith. You haven't got your faith based on the truth of the King James Bible. You're willing to let the King James, you're willing to let Jesus have your soul, but you're not willing to let Him have your feet. What is it that Paul fights against all the time? Romans chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. It doesn't say laws, it says the law of God. The way God has this thing written, the way this whole thing goes, that's the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So our flesh is still going to do what our flesh does. So quit beating yourself over it. That's what's going to happen. But we can try to do the right thing, but that's where we're going to get our persecution. That's where we're going to lose our family, our grandkids, our wives, our husbands, our friends, our neighbors. Doesn't mean you have to be a jerk about being a Christian. Don't have to be a Ruckmanite. Don't have to be the prideful Hiles guys. You know, we don't have to be that way. That's religion. We don't have to play the religious game toughly. You know, we know what Paul's manner of life is. Now, wait a minute. Maybe we don't know what Paul's manner of life is. Remember what that is? Now, I remember this morning, I'm going to set up a question. Okay? So we're getting to that point. Let's go to Ephesians. We've got to get moving here. I will have this up on notes this afternoon. I promise I will. I've got time this week, this last couple days here. We talked about His faith. You do know where the verses are for His faith. Romans 3:3, Romans 3:22, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:20, Galatians 3:22, Ephesians 3:12, Philippians 3:9. Get that? I'll have this on the notes. But we're living by His faith. So you've got to know those verses. Then, Ephesians chapter 3. We'll finish this up here. Ephesians chapter 3. I've got to quit being in such a hurry. I got all summer here. Ephesians chapter 3. See, we remind ourselves, we're clean. This is what is called, he calls the dispensation of grace. Every dispensation's had God's grace. Yeah, but not like this one. Not like this one. Remember, we're made free from sin. We have no law. All things are lawful. It's just that all things are expedient, that's all. So, we make a choice. Romans chapter 6, the second half of that verse, tells us to make a choice now. We can choose. Do we or don't we do what Paul teaches us? Have you given up? Has the persecution been so much? And listen, I understand. It's hard. The boat that I'm on has waves all over the place. Storms all over the place. I'm not going to fall out of that boat. I don't know how many more windstorms or hailstorms or lightning bolts are going to hit. It's not going to get any easier. So we choose, do we or don't we? Are we going to do works that we know we're going to burn or not going to burn? Do we live the way we live because we love Him or do we love ourselves? Are we going to serve the law of God with our mind? Are we going to know what we're supposed to do, but still just serve the law of sin with our flesh? Well, Paul fought it, so we're going to fight it. I'm not asking us here to be perfect little Christians. But listen, I say it again. Things are getting worse by the day. They're pulling Border Patrol people off the border. Well, that's irritating and stupid. Yeah, see, that's not our war. And I'll show you here in a minute. Is a good testimony important to you or not? Remember, the testimony is about Him, not us. Are we going to do the right thing? Are we going to sit on our duffers and wait for this magic Jesus to fix things? 2 Timothy 2:26 says we got to get out of the snare of the devil ourselves. Then one of my favorite stories is Paul shipwrecked at the end, where it says in Acts 27, verse 43 and 44, do you want to swim or are you going to float to heaven? We're both going to get on the shore. It says that. But if you can swim, you're in control as best as you possibly can. The waves are still beating on you. The turtles, just the snapping turtles, are still nibbling on your toes as you're swimming. You know, you're running through gush and green and slime, and jellyfish are stinging. You know, all this kind of stuff, no doubt. But you're still swimming. You're still getting someplace. We're just going to hang onto a board from the old church and just kind of keep going back, and you'll just make it to heaven eventually. You're just going to float. I'm not into the floating thing. Yeah, I want to stay doing something here. So I'm looking forward to getting out of this situation, going out to the new one. Well, we're not out of our whole situation. I don't think we can get out of it. Oh, life's going to be tough. I know it is. And some of you folks are helping it make it easier. And I appreciate it. You have no idea how much easier you've helped. But I am still in a storm. You are still in the storm. Health issues are going to pop up any day. Just here's a prophecy. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to make it to North Dakota. I've been having these thoughts about issues and health, da 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 da. Isn't that weird stuff how we think like that? Well, one of these days is going to be our last day. You know, you don't know. I don't know. So let's finish up this morning with this, and then we'll answer the question tonight. Romans 7:25. Go back to Romans 7 again. To finish this up, I think I said this a couple times. Remember those? I used to say that all the time, Bob. Just one more. Romans 7:25. You know, there's the battle. There's our war. Serving what we know we need to be doing, yet in our flesh to do what it's doing. Now, here's what we got to remember. 2 Timothy. We got three to go, and then we're done with the challenge for tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Come on, this is the one that I wish we could remember. And all the folks that lovingly send me emails and with sites that are what's going on in the world, I still find it interesting. But it does something to me, and I'll show you what it is in a second here. 2 Timothy 2:4 says this, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I mean, this is just not our battle. We make the right votes, if it's possible anymore. Do the right thing. The war is not with this country. The war is not with politics. The war is not with Homeland Security. Oh, I hate that stuff. I just despise that stuff. He says in verse 3, to endure hardness. Now, some of you have some really hard times. Some of you really struggle to do the right thing. I understand that. I haven't had to struggle as much. Oh, wait a minute. I've lost some jobs. Is it because of that? I'll never know until later. I think it has something to do with it, but, you know, I can't prove it. But the war is not with this life. Here's an interesting verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. See if you can see this here, 6:21. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, that's Paul, Tychicus or whatever, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs. That's Paul's works. Our war is with our flesh to do the right thing according to Paul. Philippians 1, right over there. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, that your day to life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, this is Paul talking, not Jesus coming, the gospel of Christ is Paul. And whether I come and see you, that's Paul coming, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, it's not our faith that's under trial, it's the faith of the gospel, Paul's gospel. And how do people know about Paul's gospel? When you cover your body, ladies, when you don't dress along the edge, men, when we do what a man's supposed to do, fathers, when a father does what he's supposed to do, not this garbage that flies around farce talk here. I will stalk you, flip out on you, lecture you, drive you insane, be your worst nightmare, hunt you down like a bloodhound. I know what they're saying here, but they don't really know what they're saying here. That isn't the way God wants it to be. Now, here's what this stuff does to you. We'll talk about this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I hope you're all still. I hope none of you are sleeping. Probably fell asleep or doing some chores or whatever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Now you know this verse. See, this is what this stuff does to me. All the stuff that's going on in America. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Oh, I am. I am troubled. I'm just troubled. This stuff troubles me. It just really troubles me. But it says, yet not distressed. Okay. So don't get tight. Don't get so distressed about this stuff. Why not? Look what's going on. Well, because we're Paul's followers. We trust the risen Savior. We're King James Bible people here. We're rightly dividers. Look what it does to your life. No, it isn't because your faith is being under stress. It's what you're trying to do. And what's going on out there, it troubles me. But I can't be distressed about it. He says, we're perplexed. I don't understand. It perplexes me to think, why should we pull the guards away from the border when we got these thousands of men? You know, I don't get our mentality. We have a reprobate mind. We know what's going on here. We know that the affairs of this life are not our problem. We know we're not supposed to waste our time arguing with these people. We're not supposed to waste our time arguing with so-called Christians. They don't get it. Here's my question. Oh, then he says, persecuted but not forsaken. Some of you are being really hassled, abused, persecuted. You are. But you have not been forsaken. Christ is still there. You've still got your King James Bible no matter what goes on. I'll tell you what's wrong. You're not reading your Bible. You're not getting your strength from your scriptures anymore. And cast down. People don't want you. They don't want you to dress like that. They don't want you to act like that. They don't want you to be a lady. They don't want you to be the man. They just don't. Unfortunately, men don't even know how to be a man anymore. If we try to be the man, you're trying to be a man in a family raised by the wife. You're trying to be a man in the world that's become feminine. Peace, brother. Here's my question. How did Paul do that? Just for tonight. After all the stuff we went through this morning, we're not being on a trial for our faith. That's a tribulation thing. Faith of the gospel, Paul's teachings, in our life, that's what's under trial. We're going to suffer persecution because we're trying to do the right thing. Question. How was Paul not distressed? With all this stuff going on, how do I keep myself from getting so distressed over it? And I'm perplexed. I can't believe the stupidity. How is this happening? But I can't be in despair about it. I am being persecuted. I can't believe. I'm so tired of this. You can feel forsaken. Is this even real stuff? Is this happening? Is God even alive? How does that happen? How can you keep yourself from feeling forsaken? And how can that be destroyed when you're being cast down from your employer, your family, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, your friends, your neighbors, and they get rid of you? Don't let it destroy you. How can that happen? How do you do that, Paul? That's for tonight. How to do this. How to do right. How not to be perplexed. And I don't know, how not to be distressed. I closed my Bible, I get a miserable memory here. Anyway, you know. How not to be destroyed, how not to be feel forsaken, how not to be in despair, and how not to be distressed. Probably in my notes. We'll do that tonight.